As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Hey there, Star Wars fans. Welcome back to another episode. I always call her Lady Sarah because that's how I know her from our, you know, Game of Thrones, Bend the Knee podcast. But over on Twitter, Sarah Palpatine, you're on TikTok too. Sarah, you've been on the podcast before. How is it going?
It is going good now that we got this new trailer to dive deep into.
So good. Going to be so much fun to break down. We were initially just sort of, when I messaged you like I think 2 weeks ago, and I was like, hey, would you be down to come on and we can talk Bad Batch season 2? And you know, I mean, we're what, three episodes into that. We're gonna get the fourth one tomorrow. Of course, we're live here on YouTube for those of you guys listening on the podcast. But then in between that time, it was announced, hey, we're getting a Mandalorian season 3 trailer. So what an awesome thing to do. We're going to be clicking through that here in a second. But yeah, definitely down to be diving into Mandalorian season 3. And then, of course, we'll also dive a little bit into Bad Batch. I don't know how much into the games you are, but of course, there was Jedi Survivor. We got the big trailer for that. There's just like a lot of stuff. I know you're a little more into the comics than I am. And there's like a cool Vader thing I just saw like a picture of. I keep up more so with like the live action news of everything that's going on, but yeah, just an amazing time in Star Wars right now.
We go
through waves, right, where it's like, okay, there's like nothing, and now it's like 2023's here and we're just getting like tons of Star Wars content.
Yeah, it was like Andor stopped and it was like it kind of plateaued for a little bit, and it's like it's kicking right back up.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, with that, let's, we're going to dive in here. We got some people coming into the chat. So we're going to dive right here into, we're going to do sort of a click through of the trailer and just sort of think about what we think. You know, I guess, you know, like sort of, I mean, what did you, just what were your sort of initial thoughts on the trailer, just like in general? And I can maybe click to like a specific point of it.
I think it was really exciting to have it during a football game, like a big football game. I'm not really a football fan. I don't really follow it. But like when they announced that it was going to be like, you know, during the halftime of the game, it adds a kind of bigness to it. And it already is a huge show, but like it was just the perfect trailer to get people excited. We got just enough Grogu. Pedro Pascal is all over the place right now between The Last of Us and this. So, you know, it was nice to kind of hear his, that voiceover that you get, that kind of more muffled voice of his. And yeah, he's wrangling up a bunch of Mandalorians and making like an Avenger squad or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where do all these Mandalorians come from? Is he leading like a new group? That's sort of like right here. Let me click over to that. You know, like right here, we immediately see this sort of like new wave of Mandalorians, and all their armor sort of looks, you know, it kind of reminds me of what Boba Fett looked like sort of initially, I think, does, comparing it to like stormtroopers and everything. Yeah, this sort of like mishmash, you know, like piece.
Colorful,
in it
very colorful.
Yeah, because that's how his was, you know, sort of initially. But now he's got, you know, the full sort of Beskar silver. So it's just really cool, I think, to sort of see all of this group and like, where does this group come from? You know, one of the things we haven't seen in either of the trailers, oh, I guess I should probably help if I get the trailer up on the screen. One of the things that we haven't seen in either of the trailers for Mandalorian season 3 is the Darksaber.
You're right. Yeah. Where's that hanging out?
Yeah. So I'm definitely interested to see, you know, like what's going on with the Darksaber, because I don't think we see it now. Maybe I can find a shot where it's like going to be him with like a group of people and we can see it hanging off like his, you know, his armor,
maybe like on his hip.
Yeah. On his hilt. I mean, this helmet right back here.
Yeah. That one looks really,
that's definitely that sort of Night Sister Bo-Katan, at least, you know, I mean,
owl-esque.
Right. Right. Because I wouldn't be surprised if some of the females Mandalorians do have the more sort of like, I guess, traditional V. It's going to be interesting because we're going to be seeing, it looks like, a lot more Mandalorians. You know, another thing, there's a few other things we didn't see sort of in this trailer. So we'll click through maybe some of that. Obviously, we can see a lot of his Naboo starfighter, Grogu.
Oh, that was beautiful.
So good. You know, they're going a million miles a second, which is awesome. This shot right here, right, where he's just sort of holding him. Of course, any Grogu, I'm down for. Now, we did see this in both this trailer and the other one, which my guess is Disney's like usually pretty good at showing, you know, it seems like in their trailers, they often show like the first just sort of few episodes of it. So we'll have to see where it's going. But I'm guessing like this is like episode one, right? There's the Salacious B. Crumb guy.
It felt very like an introduction into where we're going to be stepping off.
Yeah, because I think we'll probably...
so good, Greef Karga in his new outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, so I imagine we're going to, you know, I imagine that this is probably like episode one. He's going to go meet up with Greef Karga, and we're going to get some new mission, and then we're going to be going, you know, off in a direction. Now, one thing that they haven't really obviously seen in the, we haven't seen in the trailer... also comments here on YouTube. We got a couple people showing up here. Thank you, all of you guys, for those who are hanging out in the chat. If you have any questions or thoughts about Mandalorian, pop them in there and we'll talk about those. But you know, obviously Gina Carano's character, we know is not Cara Dune is not in this season. Do you think they're going to give a nod or like sort of say something?
I just think we're never going to hear about her ever again. I mean, I kind of hope sort of maybe that's what they do. I don't like to like predict too much because it's like, what do I know? But like, I just have a feeling she might just like, it might be the Thanos, like, I don't even know who you are. Like, she just might be
right.
Just non-existent. But you know, there might be one or two little zip zaps about her possibly, but I think it's been so long since season 2, and then when we got, you know, Mando and Grogu in the Book of Boba Fett, I feel like we're pretty far removed from like when we did see her last, well, which was that Luke Skywalker episode. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, Matt, what they do with that, because that'll be kind of like a little bit of an elephant in the room.
I agree. It's going to be interesting. I think we're going to get like a nod. I think we're going to get like something being like, hey, she's off with she ran off with the New Republic or something. I don't know that it's going to be I really don't think it's going to be anything more than that. But I do, yeah. I do think so. And it, you know, obviously, I don't know. I don't even, you know, it's been so long. I don't even remember exactly what she said on Twitter that like ticked everyone off, because it's like, you know, like 2 years ago or whatever. But
now it's like a badge of honor to get blocked by her on Twitter.
Yeah,
I've never interacted ever. I've never said anything on Twitter about her in the 3 years I've had Twitter, but I got blocked by her at one point. I was like, I don't know what I did. I don't, maybe she mass does it or something. I don't know. But yeah, no, at one point I was like, I've never even mentioned anything about her.
Wow.
Before. Yeah, I got blocked.
Wow. Huh. Okay. That's crazy. Yeah. It's just, I really enjoyed her character. And so I've always wondered, you know, Star Wars still owns like, you know, her character, and I'm sure like the intellectual property of her, and I'm sure they're able to use her likeness for, you know, whatever they want. I have a Funko Pop, you know, we were talking about our Funko Pop collections of her. I really think she would be a cool character for the comics, or, you know, something else. You don't necessarily have to, you could bring in like a different, if you want to use her in,
or like a younger version of her, you could do like her as a teenager or something, like
in Bad Batch.
Yeah, because we need more muscle girls in Star Wars. Yeah,
she'd be perfect for like Bad Batch. I mean, she, you know, yeah. You change her look a little bit, and then obviously, you know, you just have a different voice actress, and maybe that's a way to sort of like shift the character in a different direction. But we didn't get anything of her in the trailer. But I do think we will get something. We'll get a nod. Okay, we see the armorer, and then we get lines from Din Djarin saying, like, I'm going back to Mandalore to pay for my transgressions. Now, this I don't know, you know, often in trailers they pull lines and they put them on different people to make it seem like they're having a conversation. I don't think he's gonna have that line with her, because like we already saw that in
I wonder why he's gonna go back to her unless it's for Grogu.
Yeah, is he going to go back to her and be like, okay, I'm going to Mandalore? And she's like, well, like, you already told me you were. So, yeah.
Like, Tombstone, she's like, well, bye.
But, yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know that we'll see that or not. We saw this shot in the original trailer, which was sort of like destroyed Mandalore, I'm guessing. And we really have no way. We really have no idea as to what happened to it, right? I mean, the last time we're in Mandalore, at least that I can think of, is at the end of Clone Wars. And then at some point, obviously, the Empire must go in there and just wreck it, you know, turn to glass. Well, no, we see it we see some of it in Rebels.
In Rebels. Didn't they show, was it in the one episode of Book of Boba Fett where they kind of showed like the big K2SO looking droids, and like it looked very like Terminator-ish,
yes,
like very Judgment Day.
Yes.
Yeah. That was really cool. That was really spooky too.
Yeah. So we'll have to see what that ultimately is going to be. Pelimoto here, Amy Sedaris is, right? That's her name, I think.
Yes.
Character. And she says, may the force be with you. So.
I hope she got her tooth back, her missing tooth back.
I think she's going to be with that guy. Remember,
the mayor or
the conciliator or whatever in Book of Boba Fett. Yeah, I think they're going to be together, because it seemed like that might have been the case. Obviously, we got more Grogu.
His little Grogu teeth.
So good. Now, this is where the trailer starts getting crazy. Is we see Coruscant and we see Dr. Pershing. And of course, you know, sort of the interesting thing here, and we see this guy again, and he says, hey, you know, there's bigger things going on here, which, you know, probably going to be Thrawn. Are we going to get, some Thrawn stuff this season? I think you're going to have to.
Yeah. Ahsoka was asking for him in that one episode she showed up in. She was like, where's Grand Admiral Thrawn? She was very forceful about it.
So comment, a good comment here, Brotherhood of Steel saying, I think he will go to Mandalore halfway through the season. The first part will him be embracing the role of Mandalore. Yeah, because it looks like he's got this squad. And again, typically Disney shows these trailers is like, if you go back and you watch the Mandalorian season 2 trailer, it's only like the first 3 episodes that we really Yeah, that we really saw was really like the first 3 episodes. So, and then they typically do a mid-season. If you go back and look at, I don't really remember Kenobi's production stuff as much, but I specifically remember Book of Boba Fett was like the first episode. And then they showed like a million trailers, which are all like the same thing. They released like a new trailer every day. And it was like the same thing. And then like one more second of the show. We didn't see anything in Book of Boba Fett that was past like episodes 5 up, which was like when Mando shows up.
Oh yeah. No, they kept that pretty close to the chest.
Yeah. Like that's why when Mando showed up, everyone was like, this is crazy. So I do think this is probably the first couple episodes. So my guess is maybe he's starting off with this squad, right?
Yeah. Like so when he left Cobb's Vanth, left Boba Fett, and it was just him and Grogu. So like, yeah, maybe he just has been on this mission to like, you know, like wrangling up all the old Jedi. He whispers of where they could be, and maybe we'll meet them all. That'd be kind of cool if we meet them like all individually, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then have this like super squad. Because like I'm only so far into the Clone Wars and so far into Rebels that like there are some, like I haven't met Bo-Katan yet in the animation. So I don't know like how many people are still like out there who
right.
all died in the Siege of Mandalore, but like these guys look pretty fresh. So like, I wonder if there's going to be a bunch of new characters that we're going to meet, or if there's going to be a couple already established Mandalorian characters.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That's a great point. And you know, that's another thing you said too. We don't know the time frame. You know, I don't even think we really know the time frame. It seems like in between Mandalorian season 2 and Book of Boba Fett, we don't, you know, Book of Boba Fett's time frame is all over the place. I mean, in the first place, it's like all over the place. But it seems like Book of Boba Fett is like at least a couple months. That it also feels like it takes place over a little bit, so we don't really know how long it's been in between Mandalorian season 2 and then you have Book of Boba Fett and then Mandalorian season 3, like what that time difference is in between the two. But this feels like it definitely feels like it's been a bit. I would say maybe like, I don't know, maybe like a year in between.
Yeah,
like
I would,
in between 2 and 3 with Boba Fett taking place in the middle.
Definitely a year, 2 years probably at like the most.
Yeah. I don't know if they're gonna.
Because Boba wasn't messing around at the end of season 2 of Mando. Like he was like, I know where I want to go, and he was sitting on that throne with Fennec Shand on his side, and like that seemed pretty. Yeah. So yeah, probably like a year or so.
I'm leaning more. We got a comment here from Anthony. He's good, great commenter on the channel. He comments on like every video. He's saying, I believe based on the action, Mandalorian season 3 takes place over 2 months since season 2's finale. So I guess, does that mean that? Yeah, I guess the thing we have to consider is, Boba Fett picks up immediately. Yeah, because Din does get injured and he does go back to the armorer and he shows her the Darksaber, which he would have just gotten. But it feels like maybe he has another job. So maybe it's just like a week. It's not like incredibly long.
Yeah, it felt like Grogu was with Luke. Like it felt like he was like with him a little bit longer, but maybe it was that fast. And if he had the little shirt to give him, that was the reason to go visit him. And then Ahsoka was like, nope, it's Jedi training time. you can't see the child. And then he was like, all right, well, I'll go. Then Fennec meets up with him and is like, hey, I got a, you know, job for you, or do you want to help us out? And
right.
And yeah, then they do the whole Rancor, you know, spinny moves and all that stuff, and then he's off with Grogu. So yeah, I wonder if they just get up and go and start looking for other Mandalorians.
Yeah. See, it's just, it's so, the timing is so weird, because yeah, he gets the Darksaber at the end of Mandalorian season 2. He goes and then meets the armor, but it feels like there's maybe like a week or so in there. I mean, there's mm-hmm. definitely a little bit of time, because he's like doing another job and mission like immediately. But then on Boba Fett's side, yeah, let's see. Yeah, we'll probably get an even better idea of the actual time frame in season 3 and Ahsoka. Yeah. Yeah,
maybe we'll say like 6 weeks later or something. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's just weird, because it does feel like it's like, well, hold on, you just gave him away. So now you're like, Mando gives Grogu away. So now are you immediately like, well, that was a bad idea? It's like, yeah. I feel like you need it to be like a month or two, where you're at least like, hey, you know, this, you know, you have to sit on that for a bit. It's weird. It's an interesting,
and I wonder how, like, the first, like, not to get too far away from the trailer, but like, I wonder how the first episode is going to pick up. Like, I just feel like they're going to have to. There's just so many, like, people that I think about, like my mom, my dad, who like maybe casually seen some of the Mandalorian, like, mm-hmm. but have never watched Boba Fett, and are probably not going to. Like, you're going to have to show at least some of that somehow. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they do it storytelling wise.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. Are we going to recap a little bit of what happened in Book of Boba Fett? Because even in the future, you know, you have to sort of think about, like, when people are streaming this, people might stream 1, 2, and 3. And so if you're a new person, you're going to watch, like, well, hold on a second. Like, where do you get that ship? Yeah. You know what
Where
I mean?
Did he and get, that's... How did Grogu like just fly halfway across the galaxy and show up?
Yeah. I mean, that's also kind of the Marvel issue, right? Where you're like, okay, hold on. You know, you have to like, oh, I got to go back over here and watch this and do this. You can't just like watch movies. And
yeah, it's a lot of zigzagging for their most mainstream, biggest thing that they have on the roster. You know what I mean? Mandalorian is like the biggest thing in Star Wars.
Here's a good comment too. Brotherhood of Steel says, I would say it's about 3 months, as it seems like you took that job to get information on where the armor is. Remember Mando season 3, Ahsoka and Skeleton will in all some way converge, let's intersect, dude, you know, the evil doing Outer Rim, yeah, the new beyond, right? They're going to do this sort of Thrawn thing. So yeah, I'd say like 3 months, I think, sort of feels too, because there was also a little bit of time, you know. Like, Boba Fett doesn't just step in and it's like the span of 3 days, like, takes over. So there's
that took a hot minute.
Yeah. So there's some time there. So yeah, it's going to be, I guess maybe, you know, if this is, say, at least like 6 months in between. So if, let's say, like 6 months takes place in between Mando season 2 and this, that's more than enough time for like things to be moving fast and then be like, hey, there's like a new threat. Now, the interesting thing is this new threat Thrawn, or is this new threat something else, like unknown region stuff?
Yeah, well, because we still need, we still, like, if you go back to the finale of season 2, we left off with Moff Gideon, just like, it was just everybody was on the ship, and Grogu leaves with Luke, and it's like, goodbye, and that was it. So it's like, what happened with Moff Gideon? We know what happened with, for the most part, what happened with the Darksaber. Mando still has it. He's very clumsy with it. And that's not like really his fault. It's just not vibing with him energetically. And like you said, there's the character, the WWE,
Sasha Banks character, Casca Reeves. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we still, like, that's a Mandalorian that's still out there. I don't know if she's going to be hanging out with Bo or what, but we still have to deal with Moff Gideon. And I think he is like the next step he's like the little breadcrumb Hansel and Gretel step to the next big bad, maybe. Like, if we know what's going on with him, then we can figure out what's like the next.
We have not seen Moff Gideon in either trailer, though. Juan Carlo Esposito, is that how you his last name?
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yes. Giancarlo Esposito. Yeah. Okay, there we go. I haven't watched enough Breaking Bad to know.
I was gonna say, if you haven't,
just
like
ingrained. Right. But I have seen some of his tweets, and he did an interview where he said that like Moff Gideon is going to be a pretty big part of season three. And he says, and he is like a villain who will rise from the ashes. So sounds like he's probably going to escape. Now, the interesting thing I think with Moff Gideon's character too, is one, I would not count out the possibility of seeing Moff Gideon, a young Moff Gideon, as well as a young Dr. Pershing, who we'll get to here as we skip through the trailer, in Bad Batch, because Filoni loves to interconnect.
Oh, yes.
Interconnect things. And remember, before Book of Boba Fett came out, we got some Cad Bane stuff in Bad Batch season one. So
yes, he kidnapped Omega.
Right. So pay attention. Like, we really got to pay attention to stuff that happens in Bad Batch, because it will come back up, because that's what, you know, Filoni does. I think going to be the really interesting thing is, are there factions? Are there splinter cells in the remnants of the Empire? Is Thrawn like the head of it, or is Gideon sort of his own thing? You know, these are some of the things too.
Palpatine is dead at this point, right? So
he exists somewhere.
He's somewhere somehow.
Right. Is he like Voldemort, you know, in Harry Potter one, where he's like this? Yeah, like,
going
fade
from animal
type thing?
To animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, possible. I think so. Yeah. Yeah, possible new threats. Anthony leaves a comment here saying, "The Remnant Empire, Thrawn and company, or acolytes of the Beyond." Another comment here, Brotherhood of Steel again saying, "Might just be me, but if you watch the scene where Mando uses the Darksaber in the final battle of the Book of Boba Fett, once he is united with Grogu, he doesn't seem to have much difficulty using it." Yeah, good point. And that's going to be interesting too. I've been doing some deep dives on some of my other videos, and I've been doing some YouTube shorts about the Darksaber, and sort of like really doing like some deep dives on it as well, and to see where it ultimately, who it will ultimately will go to, will pass to. I kind of have a feeling that Grogu is going to end up being the wielder.
I hope then he gets to have a lightsaber, and it just would be a good merging of the two, because like whatever the Jedi are now at this point, it shouldn't be as like strict, and I don't know,
right,
as it was
yeah the before. Crazy and the crazy thing about the Darksaber compared to other lightsabers is the Darksaber's crystal sort of specifically is sort of tuned to the user, and so really the, like, in theory, the stronger the connection you make with the blade, the stronger the blade could become. So if you were somebody who was incredibly powerful in the Force, and somebody who also was like, you know, a very good white lightsaber wielder, and also, you know, was very in tune with this blade, then in theory, the blade could be the single most powerful lightsaber like in existence. Well, I'm still think that there's going to be some big connection between Grogu and Anakin, because you just don't make Grogu and Anakin's
the same age.
If you go look at the Star Wars timeline, there's the only thing that happens in that year is that Grogu is born and Anakin are born. I mean, you just don't do that. Like,
the Darth Plagueis. I hope I'm saying it.
Plagueis.
I feel like I say it. Plagueis. He was still alive at that time, messing around with Palpatine, trying to learn all sorts. So like, I was like, this is a perfect like way to go into like the cloning, because we still have so many questions, you know, about Grogu, and outside of just like the Mandalore stuff. So like, I feel like Din is working on his stuff, you know, his therapy, his Mandalorian issues, and also still needing to deal with Grogu. And where do we go from here? I found a Jedi. I found the best Jedi to take care of him, but he chose, you know, this life with me. So it'll just be interesting to see what comes up in terms of how and why, and if Yoda is however hundreds of years old, you know, how and yeah. Like, and that's all Plagueis wanted to do, was just figure out how to live forever, and did all sorts of crazy weird experiments that were like really awful. That book was really
right
kind of scary.
I wouldn't be surprised if, I don't know that we'll see Plagueis in the Acolyte. I mean, we might, but I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see, now that we're going to get this Sith show, like just how we've had sort of the prophecy of the Chosen One on the Jedi side for a long time. And it's referenced in a lot of books and all of these things, you know, obviously then, and you know, Anakin comes along, but if you read like the Dooku Lost book, which I still push anytime because it's just so good, especially the audiobook. But that sort of prophecy comes up, and then Qui-Gon sort of, you know, picks it up and all these things. But what's to say that there isn't one, a similar sort of prophecy on the Sith side, that they believe that they might have somebody, or they can extend life or something. And maybe that's what Plagueis Absolutely. Does. Maybe, who knows? Maybe Plagueis messes the whole thing up in trying to create Anakin, because there's obviously theories that Plagueis, you know, is involved there, and it's Anakin and Grogu and Anthony and a lot of other people, you know, have been saying this here, comment here. I've been saying it since 2020, Anakin/Grogu dyad. Could be. I mean, it's crazy to think that The Rise of Skywalker, the whole idea of a dyad in the Force comes out like, because remember, if you remember, Rise of Skywalker came out like the exact same time as Mando season one.
Yes. Yes. And I remember, so when Kylo goes into Exegol for the first time, and you see kind of some of like the stuff in the big jars, kind of clone creatures, there was something, and I don't know where we're at timeline wise, but in the first season of The Bad Batch, when Fennec mm-hmm. is trying, she's running around with Omega knocks over, like right. they're in some weird creepy part of someplace, and yes. she knocks over,
it's cloning stuff.
Yeah.
They all look the same. They look just like the ones, and we see it in Moff Gideon's facility. We see it in that Gideon facility in Mando. Yeah, in the Mando season.
Oh, that's gonna be so cool. I really hope they just go balls to the walls with that.
Yeah, you know, another thing they did, if you sort of like think about the connections, because I think sometimes, especially like, it's really good to look at the connections of like sometimes it's like, okay, well, you're just sort of looking at things because the Star Wars timeline jumps around a lot. Like, that's why I sometimes look at like, okay, what happens in Clone Wars that we see here? But like, remember, Clone Wars season 7 came out after Mando season 1, but before Mando season 2, you know, so it's kind of like you sort of look and see what are they doing here and how does that sort of translate, say, like going forward. So, you know, one of the things they did in Rise of Skywalker was, at least in the big movies and everything, introduce Force healing. It was the first time we see it, right? Rey yes. heals the snake yes. and then Rey and Kylo heal each other. Well, then Grogu does it. Grogu heals Gideon, or he heals Greef Karga at the end of Mando season 1.
And doesn't he, he kind of helps calm the Rancor down. So that's not quite Force
yes.
healing, but yeah.
Which is like animal control, what Anakin is also capable of, which is not necessarily like a Jedi Force power that everyone uses.
Mm-hmm. Or can figure out how to tap into, which
right.
is kind of cool. I like how like some Jedis are in tune to certain things where others aren't, but those ones are stronger in other areas.
Some other comments here. The Bad Batch is part of the Mandoverse. Mount Tantus will most definitely be rearing its Frankenstein science head in the story over these over 28 years. Yeah. Wonder if Mando and Grogu go to Kamino.
Kamino
would be
lost. Like, just,
Yeah, Kamino's gone. Like destroyed. It gets destroyed. We saw at the end of Bad Batch season one.
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, I wouldn't count out the idea of ever going back to Kamino. I think with Pershing, we could learn some history about Kamino, and definitely like Mount Tantiss, which is why we're there. So it's going to be interesting. Interesting to see. I think we might get maybe a Crosshair flashback of like, remember they said he just sat on like a pillar in Kamino for like months?
He just stayed there. I know. I watched that, the third episode again today, and I was like, he like, you know, he goes to sit down with his little lunch and like everybody moves and they like leave him alone at the table, which is like kind of sad. But like, yeah, I mean, that's, he's freaky that way. Like he'll stay. Yeah, I can't even imagine what he went through. But yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of weird things floating around in the ocean in that area. And then we did see, I think her name is Nala Se, the big, tall alien. Right. Mm-hmm. And Lamassu. Is that
Lamassu,
the male one? Okay. I was just kind of thinking that, like, they're the number one people with the cloning stuff, and their facility gets taken down and they get moved to some other place. I can't remember where Nala Se ended up, but
Mount Tantiss is what it's
their alien species has a very significant look to it, and like when you look at like Snoke kind of, not to like bring it back to Snoke, but somehow it's going to have to tie in with the Grogu stuff, that kind of looks like if you were to take like a human that looked like Palpatine, or, you know, like an older human, and you cloned or did something with like their genealogy, you could almost come up with this big headed creature with a long neck. Like, so I don't know. That might be, that could, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And things that are force, you know, trying to make force sensitive clones is a very difficult thing. Even when you go back to like Legends and stuff like that, you know, the Starkiller, the Force Unleashed. So in the first game, Starkiller is just a person, Galen Marek, Sam Witwer, you know, who obviously voices Maul, and he's done other stuff and stuff. So he does all the voice caption and all that stuff for the character, who I do believe we will see in live action at some point. I 100% believe we will get a live action Starkiller at some point. He's gonna have to be tuned way down, but because he's like the most powerful like person ever, essentially. But then
we don't want anybody calling him a Mary Sue.
And then he gets killed at the end of the first game. And then Vader just goes on this like cloning rampage where he makes like over like 100 clones or something. And then only one of them ends up working. And so then that's the second game you're just playing as. The first game you're technically playing as Galen Marek, who is codenamed Starkiller. And in the second game, you're just playing as, they call him Starkiller. So they are technically two different people. So yeah, but I mean, it's been a big part. And so, and even you go back to that, I mean, you see just how difficult it was, where Vader had to make like hundreds of clones just to get one to work, to be that character. Comment here. Yeah. You know, Brotherhood of Steel saying, if the cloning procedures that Palpatine uses is anything like Legends.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Then it's possible they need Grogu to make a clone that can handle Palpatine's immense power. Yeah, because you need these like sort of force sensitive. Now, if you remember in Kenobi, the Fortress Inquisitorius,
yes. Right?
When he went down there, he sort of saw some of those other Jedi frozen in. But it's not carbonite.
Oh,
but it's
no.
That.
What if they left him like that so they could
right probably them? Yeah, probably. Yeah, I always forget. Terrence Sanube, is that right? Is that who it is? Terra Sanube is the one. Master Sanube is the one Jedi we see who he's in. You actually see him in Tales of the Jedi. He's there in that room where they're observing Ahsoka as before.
Oh,
Anakin like does a thing.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, and he's in early Clone Wars episodes, but he's there. He's the guy who's frozen. He's one of the guys who's frozen in that that they've sort of imprisoned him in. So they've got him. They've had a youngling in there as well. I think they had another female Jedi, but I don't know if we know her name or not. So they're definitely doing a lot of this cloning stuff. And you know, I'll cut to it here when we come back to the Order 66 scene. But we do see a shot of Pershing, like, riding in a speeder on Coruscant, which is really interesting. It was probably before. Yeah, right here. So, like, what's going on there? Where's he going? why is he on Coruscant, right? Because really the last thing we see is they go basically grab him. To be like, hey, where are they at? And then that's it. Remember, now I just want to keep calling Cara Dune, right?
Yeah,
Toronto's character. Remember, she shoots the one guy and he burns his ear,
and he did, and he got away somehow, or did
he must have.
Okay,
no, because yeah, we didn't see what happened to him.
Yeah, I could see him like. Slime in a way somehow in some little
so way. Yeah, so we don't know what's going to happen with him, but I think we're going to see a young version of him in Bad Batch this season.
That would be cool. That would make perfect sense.
Yeah, because I think we need to understand. I think this season, well, I'll cut back to it too, and we can shift a little bit of gears here and talk about it, but one, we're going to get Fall of Mandalore stuff, but two, I mean, we're going to get like why they want to clone, you know, stuff like that. And I guess, you know, Order 66, it's all this flashback of Order 66. I've seen some people theorizing online that this scene right here may actually have been meant for Kenobi.
Uh-huh.
Like they may have filmed like a lot of this stuff when they did the Order 66 thing, and they may have filmed this actually in Kenobi, and then like they were able to use it in and Mando. Some people have said that it was actually like an extended scene, and like, but I mean I don't know, because remember like Kenobi released like the day of Kenobi and Stranger Things released like the day of like a school shooting or whatever, and
oh They had to put the little.
Well, Kenobi didn't, but Stranger Things did. Which was like the.
It took
which
Kenobi like the, a couple. It they finally did, but at first they didn't. Yeah, and
it was a little brutal. It was crazy because, you know, like, what was it? It was like Stranger Things. You know, I remember they had the little note like, hey, you know, due to recent events or whatever. But like Kenobi started and it's literally a school shooting. I mean, it's like.
And it was very graphic, too. It wasn't just like, oh, little bloop, bloop, zoop, zoop, you know, the pew, pew, right. It was pretty graphic. So I know some people really like are kind of like not wanting to go to see any more people get like, you know, Jedi get killed in Order 66. So I hope that I hope we do see like his escape because we did see him. He was in some kind of a maroon satchel or backpack or something that somebody takes him out. So I would just love to see who got him out of Dodge. And like, see how old he was at that time. If Anakin was in his early 20s when he turned to the dark side.
Yeah, I think he's about like, I think he's like 20.
Grogu. But would Grogu be like a youngling though? You know what I mean? Like in
I've talked about that. You know, the interesting thing is the only other person that we sort of have to age Grogu against is Yoda. And I think I did the math once. So when we see Grogu, now, obviously he's around 50 years old, which is about how old Anakin would be. So this is. Well, it's 10 years after the Battle of Yavin, which I think it's like minus 21 or minus 19 BBY. So yeah, Grogu would be like 19, around 20 years old. I think Yoda begins teaching when he's 70. So
Okay. Well.
Right. So like I've often said, like Grogu may have actually been like a full-blown Jedi.
I was going to say he could be a Jedi Knight at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. I mean, obviously, we look at him and he's small and we're like, no, he feels like a baby. He feels like baby Yoda. But, I mean, we don't know. So it's sort of hard to tell with Yoda species because there's really only, even that I can think of, I think
him
there's
and
only,
Yaddle.
There's him, Yaddle. There's one that you meet in, like, Knights of the Old Republic. I don't even know if there's one in the Old Republic game. I certainly know there's one in Knights of the Old Republic, but I think he only lives to be, like, 300. And the funny thing is that all of them talk normally, except Yoda. For a long time, we thought that was, like...
He must have got dropped as a baby.
Yeah, for, like, a long time, we thought that was the way the species talked. And then now it's like, no, Yoda's just weird. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just having a silly goose time.
Yeah, Brotherhood is still saying, yeah, they probably filmed it in Kenobi, like around, so just so they could take advantage of the set. Yeah, so, but yeah, so some people were speculating this may have, some people were saying maybe this was actually Kenobi footage, and they were
like Reva.
So, exactly. So, who knows? Maybe we see Reva. Maybe we see the young actress who plays Reva, and we see, I don't know, her in here too. Maybe you could connect. Yeah,
I'm for every connection that we can make. I'm for all the little threads connecting together.
So really, I don't think that there's any Jedi. So in terms of who saved Grogu, I do think we're gonna find out. And the thing about that is because the mystery's gotten bigger, I feel like you have to explain it, and it needs to be sort of significant. It's either we don't know if he necessarily got rescued or if he just got taken. Like, so he could get taken by the Empire.
That is true. Yes, I was forgetting.
And then he gets somehow escapes from the Empire. See, like in theory, Grogu could be taken by the Empire, and then we're going to Mount Tantus. In theory, we could see Grogu and Bad Batch and Omega and Hunter and everything rescue him and drop him off somewhere. And then, because when we meet him, he's with this like band of like bandits. Remember, they just go and they're like, so it's not like he's with like Jedi or anything. When Mando and IG go there, it's just like with this like I don't know, like bandits or something.
Oh, that's the nurse droid.
Was
the nurse droid? Okay,
right.
I feel like there's got to be like a really solid connection to Omega as well, even though I know they're pretty fresh after Order 66. And I think with, you know, Din and Grogu were what, about 20 years ahead of that. But yeah, there's, you know, I was always hoping in like Book of Boba Fett, there might be like an Omega connection or something. But yeah, I feel like,
oh, I think we'll get that at some point.
Yeah. I want to know more about Omega too, in terms of like, you know, what her deal is, the whole Alpha, you know, Alpha Omega thing and whatnot, right, as the clones slowly start changing.
I still think she's a candidate to be the armor who we don't know. And I hope we get a little bit more about that. I still think most likely scenario of anybody we know is Rook Cast, who is one of the, she's one of the people who's with Maul, because Bo-Katan does, I think, was it this trailer or something where she says like, you know, your band of like heathen or heretics or whatever almost brought us down or something. Remember, that's in the first trailer, the first Mando trailer we see.
This toy bar looks amazing.
I know. Is that R2? I mean, that looks like him, but I don't think it is. I think it's just there to sort of show us. And then we see Grogu use the Force against this sort of creature here.
Yeti
and
that's really looking thing, yeah.
Right, and that's really about it. So we don't get... Here's another word.
Yeah, look at them all.
Right.
That's like a dirty dozen you got there. That's like a baker's dozen of Mandalorians.
What I think might be happening here is this might be Mandalore. And maybe this is like going to be the war. Maybe we're going to get like Mando's faction turned against Bo-Katan's faction. And they're like, hey, we have the Darksaber led by the Armorer. And we're like, we have the Darksaber and we are, you know, we are the Mandalore. We are the rulers. We have the Darksaber.
And we have Grogu. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Other than that, I guess I don't know what mission they'd be on.
Got a semi-Jedi on their side as well.
Yeah. But, I mean, boom, here's a bunch of TIE fighters.
Oh, yeah.
Or those are TIE interceptors. Here's an old Mandalorian helmet he's picking up from the ashes. I mean, it's going to be packed. I mean, that's the thing about this. I mean, here he's flying through a bunch of fireworks. So, like, what are we celebrating?
Yeah, what's the celebration? Is that Coruscant, maybe? No.
Yeah.
Is that Chopper? Or a droid that looks like Chopper?
If anything, it might be... we don't see it. We don't... Yeah, we... No, it's, I definitely don't think it's Chopper.
I love how Grogu's back in the...
The little pod.
Yes. Like, why should he have to walk around with his tiny little legs all the time?
Yeah, let me go. One second here. I'm going to pull up the other trailer. Just so we can kind of click through it and maybe compare.
Yeah, Bo-Katan does say something in that one. She's
Mandalorian. I go back and forth with her. Three trailer of what she does. Yeah, maybe it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the one from 4 months ago. Okay. Some of this obviously was like other footage too. You know, there's kind of hyping it up to see if there's really any kind of difference between them. Yeah, you know, this is one we didn't see. If so, now that we have a little bit of both, we can kind of compare a little bit more. Like, this location is new, so we didn't see anything like this in this new trailer. So, mm-hmm. You know, again, I think that's probably pretty early on. We did sort of see that cave again. Then we have this. She's saying, "You're Mandalore no more." Maybe we get a little bit of it. And so if she's saying that, then like, "You're Mandalorian no more." And then he says in this new trailer, "I'm going to go fix my transgressions."
Yeah. He's just really held up on that whole taking the helmet off.
Yeah. That looks like the area where Mando meets up with Greef Karga in the trailer. Perhaps Mando is helping him out again. Yeah. Here he's flying through the same thing again. See, now,
there
yeah,
is.
Yeah, we definitely got a lot more Bo-Katan in the old trailer.
I think so, that's again, so cool that it's the same voice, the girl, or the same woman who did the voice acting for Bo-Katan. That's the...
God, what's her name?
Katie Sackhoff. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at Bo-Katan Kryze.
Yeah. Yeah. Your cult basically tore us apart. You know, the funny thing about that, too, by the way, is that she was part of it.
Like, I was going to say, wasn't she like a fanatic as well?
In Death Watch. Yeah, I know. So I hope that comes up. You know,
like, didn't somehow. Her sister die because of, like, I'm not saying because of her, but
kind
like,
of. It's real. I think, yeah, I mean, technically, she's there when Maul, she's part of the group that takes it over with Maul. You know, where we're,
she's so cool, though. Look at, she looks really cool.
Oh,
she's so cool.
See, and then, okay, yeah, so here, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe that whatever we're sieging here, this does maybe look like where Greef Karga is and not Mandalore. Because if you look at the Mandalore.
Does he live on Navarro?
Navarro, yeah.
The same place as what their face did. Because they were together at first. Wasn't the Cara Dune character and Greef Karga?
No, remember, he initially meets Cara Dune on whatever. He meets her on the planet where he's with that little tribe, I think, right? Remember? Oh. And they take down the walker.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he ends up meeting, and then
and then Greef Karga,
I forget
like
how
at
she
the very beginning,
I forget how Cara Dune ends up going to, I think he flies and he's like, hey, I need your help, and then she ends up going with him. And they all,
I wonder if we're gonna see Bill Burr's character again, the guy who called him Old Brown Eyes.
Oh,
Brown Eyes.
What is it? Biggs.
Yeah,
Mayfield.
Yeah. Mayfield. That was what his name was.
See, now here he's flying against. So this was So this shot right here in space wasn't. We didn't. So clearly, this is some sort of space station or something. I mean, we did see some shots in the new trailer of just like flying, but we didn't see this space battle. So my guess, it may even sort of open with this. I wouldn't be shocked if it sort of opened with it, because Star Wars. So we're gonna go see Peli Motto again.
Looks like she's gonna be babysitting. She's on babysitting duty again.
Oh yeah, maybe you're right. Oh, that would make sense. Actually, that's a good point. So she's on babysitting duty when he goes with those other Mandalorians. So I'm guessing that's probably because I think a lot of that's early stuff, maybe episode 2 or something. Yeah, so she's probably on babysitting duty. When he picks Grogu up, because remember we see it at night, he's flying away, is when she says, may the force be with you. Okay. That's good. There's the droid, which is R5,
she looks like she's ready to have some ante time. They're going to watch the movies.
So this, I think, is Coruscant, and it's hard to tell exactly where
it kind of looks like it with all the light. We don't see too many planets that are like popping off city wise lately. Like, it's been a while since we've gotten like a really non desolate looking planet, if that makes sense. Like, everything just looks so bleak and bland, and not in a bad way. Just like the Empire just makes everything, even in the Bad Batch with Dooku's castle on Serrano, like that whole place was all messed up.
Yeah.
Everything's just not cool. I want to see what Coruscant is going to be like now that we're like Palpatine's gone. You know, like we saw it with Mon Mothra in Andor, and it was so opulent and so beautiful and sleek and so well decorated and designed, and the architecture of everything. I wonder if we see, you know, a little bit of Dr. Pershing in Coruscant, what Coruscant is like now that Palpatine's dead and gone. Is it in shambles like other places, or is it still this hustling, bustling city? So
yeah, I'm trying to think. Do we see Coruscant in the sequels? Like are we on Coruscant?
No, actually.
I'm trying to remember when Starkiller Base goes off and they look up and they see like the Hosnian system destroyed. I'll have to go back and look at the exact.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have to think about it really hard to
you're right.
But the one thing that always bumps me out a little bit about the sequels is that there wasn't enough nods to the prequels, which like I can understand, because when they first made the sequels, like, you know, when did the first one come out? 2015, 15? Was that Force Awakens?
15. Yeah, it would have been Force Awakens.
That's barely, you know, barely a decade. People were still not having the nicest things to say about the prequels at that point.
That is true. It hasn't become quite beloved yet.
So I don't blame them for not putting a whole lot of prequel nods in the sequels. But like, I like now how we're making that bridge, how we're making more ties from Order 66 into the, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if someday we see Grogu and Rey together doing stuff, if he lives long enough. Hopefully.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's possible. I mean, it's going to be a good while. I mean, they've still yet to really touch anything that's sort of like, we don't have anything post sequels. I think in the next 10 years we will get something.
Yeah. I hope so. Whether a show, something, I'd love to see more Finn. We did not get enough of his.
I know, but so many of those, it's just a shame that so many of those, the actors and actresses are just so like turned off by it that they want like nothing to.
Hopefully like Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen, like they'll be able to see that like they are beloved and so well respected and held in high regard, but it just has to be so hard to go through that process. And, you know, like Ewan McGregor said for years, he just thought everybody hated those movies, and because people were so vocal about it, and people were so vocal about not liking Hayden Christensen.
Right. It ruined Jake Lloyd's life.
Yeah. He did not care for it. Think about Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar Binks.
Right.
Any of the stuff that I've seen a few things about Ewan and I think maybe Liam Neeson talked about how much they loved working with Ahmed Best and how he was one of the funnest people to work with. And so like,
he's technically come around a little bit. Cause he hosted, it was like some sort of Star Wars kids show thing. It was like a Jedi temple thing, and I think he hosted that. It was like Young Jedi Adventures or something.
And I know, yeah, he's made some appearances, I think, in the stuff since then. But I'd like to see more Warwick Davis in Star Wars. I miss having Willow around.
I'm super down as well. I got a handful of comments here. We'll dive into real quick. So Peter Griffith saying, they say she's dead, but I want the armor to be Satine, Bo-Katan's sister. I know she actually would all honestly be like the perfect person for it. I got to think she's dead. I mean, I just like they say no one's ever really dead in Star Wars, but I feel like it'd be really difficult to bring.
That'd be really upsetting for Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, to bring her back. Brother to Steel, it's possible that they're going to an Imperial remnant attacking the New Republic. Hence, Mando is talking to the New Republic Ranger. Yeah, that could make a lot of sense. It would be wise for the Mandalorians to sort of like ally with the New Republic.
Yeah.
This might lead to Mando taking the role of Mandalore. My guess is Bo-Katan will not want to help the New Republic celebrating Boba's victory is in the robot bar where no humans allowed. Do they think Din is one of them with the gear on? Yeah, and Babu Frick, right? I mean,
Babu Frick people or whatever his species is called. There's two of them.
Yeah. So why are we going to see him? You know?
Something's gotta get built or fixed. The droid is ready.
A droid, yeah. That's gonna be interesting to see what, you know. Some people have said, like, you know, we don't see the statue of IG. I always forget which one it is. 11, 88, whichever one is the one that's in Mando. 88 is the one that's in Empire Strikes Back, and 11 is the one. I always mix them up. Because, you know, he's just like standing there, the IG unit in Empire Strikes Back. He doesn't really do anything. But I'll look it up. But people are saying we didn't see his statue. Like we did the thing, but I mean, Navarro looks like it's booming too. I mean, compared to what it was, I mean, it looks like it's bustling now, like looks way bigger.
Especially, like I said, that whole brief cargo is just looking really opulent. So
yeah, 11. Yeah. 11 is the one that's in 11 is the one that's in Mandalorian. Yeah. 88 is the one that's in Empire Strikes Back, which is just like a statue basically just sits there. So yeah, it's gonna be, so my guess is that this is a group of people that were ultimately run by the armor, I'd have to say.
Yeah, maybe.
And I think they're gonna come out. I'm wondering if the armor is going to begin rallying people around Din.
That makes sense.
And because now that he has the Darksaber, it sort of changes everything.
Maybe
because in theory he could go to Mandalore and tell Bo-Katan to, you know, yeah, F off, basically. I mean, to say, hey, like, yeah, IG is there before the siege when the Mandos drop in. It's gone. Okay. I also hope we see variants of Mandalorian armor, such as the Neo Crusader from KOTOR. Had to find the water to dip it in first. Yeah, I'm loving all the armor we're seeing.
Oh yeah, the like so bold, that orange color.
Right.
It is like giving like how Boba Fett's new armor looks with that like yellow and that deep green. It's kind of the same sort of variation of it.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you guys in the chat have anything more on Mandalorian, we can certainly dive into that. Otherwise, we could talk maybe a little bit about, you know, and I didn't see this shot. Some people. Okay. So I guess on Disney Plus, there's a slightly different trailer.
Really?
Because some people were saying, let me remove this and add something. One second. Let me add something here. Oh, sorry. Some people were saying, I found this on Reddit, and they, that's not how I wanted to share it. I'll do that again. Sorry. But yeah, they said you see a Star Destroyer, but people are saying that you only see it on the Disney Plus version of the trailer. This is on the Star Wars Leaks Reddit.
Yeah. And that's obviously Coruscant. So
yeah. So I need to go watch that too, but interesting that we're also getting two sort of different trailers. And what's the deal with this Star Destroyer on Coruscant?
Repaired?
Yeah. I just can't imagine that, like, Thrawn and then, you know, Pershing is there, are working on a Star Destroyer on Coruscant. It's not like those are, like, easy things to hide.
I mean, literally, Palpatine went like this in about 100 of them came up out of the ground. So like,
I guess. But I just can't imagine you hide one on Coruscant.
Yeah. What? Maybe they're doing a reverse engineering, like a Area 51. I don't know.
I'll pull up Disney Plus in another tab over here. YouTube will flag it immediately if I try to share it on here. and just sort of see the trailer over there to see if there's really anything different. I didn't know actually that ever happened, that there were different trailers.
Neither did I.
But apparently that is a thing. Season 3 trailer. I'll see if I can go find the trailer. But yeah, I mean, it's just definitely interesting, because now this is like, hey, I didn't notice that. I didn't know that. I'm just sort of skimming through it here, and I can certainly do like a screenshot or something, but I can't share. It's like you can share the YouTube version of the trailer and not get in trouble. Yeah, there is. Okay, so basically what it is, I'll pull up the other trailer here. I'm wondering why it's not in this trailer, but it's basically on the YouTube version, which was, you know, the one they shared on TV and everything. Mm-hmm. Like the shot where you see Dr. Pershing. They don't show it on the other version. So I'm really wondering what the decision was there.
Hmm.
Yeah. But it's just for a quick second. So you just see more of like Dr. Pershing on the other trailer. Interesting
I wonder surely they know that there's different frames and scenes, and
Yeah, my minor differences between the two, but that's right, yeah. It's the same thing, except you just see that way. You just see one extra frame. That's a Star Destroyer. So, interesting. Well, we shift gears a little bit here, and if you guys have any more questions, we'll certainly dive back into Mandalorian trailer. But Sarah, we haven't talked at all that much today about Bad Batch, what we're thinking so far. We are getting a new episode tomorrow.
Yes, or tonight if you stay recording. Up for it.
Yeah. So just real quick here. What are you thinking so far of Bad Batch season 2?
I'm liking it so far. Omega is one of my favorite characters, just like ever in Star Wars. So she's just always fun and delightful, and just like I like seeing her just become more and more like intertwined with the fellas, and you know, her big brothers, I guess we should call them. The Crosshair episode was really, really good. They do that thing where they take a bad guy but they make you feel bad for him, and that's always like, you know, gives you conflicted feelings. I want Crosshair to be with the brothers, but also, like, you know, it's kind of interesting to see him get darker and darker and go harder and harder for the Empire and stuff. So yeah, and the Dooku callback. I mean, we've been getting served so much Dooku this
stuff. I know. Yeah. I'm really intrigued by it.
So yeah, going to his castle on Serrano was really cool, and you know, it's always like the next job is going to give them their freedom and get them on the right path, and it's like, you know, we wouldn't have the show if it worked out that way, right? So it's like always funny to see the Sid character. And also they did a little bit of trolling with the clones look so different than Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. Like, there's some people that have a problem with them seeming kind of like whitewashed and not like as darker as they should be. And I thought that I think it was Wanda Sykes who played that pirate that was friends of Sid. She kind of was like, I thought all your clones were supposed to look the same She kind of just like ribs at them a little bit. I thought that was kind of clever. But yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it too. I'm definitely interested to see where they're gonna go with Commander Cody.
he said, "I'm out of here."
Yeah, exactly. To see like what his sort of role is going to be, and I think it's gonna be interesting if the clones. Yeah, I'm just still so intrigued. Like you said about the Dooku stuff. Like, why are we getting so much Count Dooku stuff? We got it basically in like two episodes. There was like Dooku stuff. Well, really in all three, we saw it in all three episodes. Like, we go to Dooku's house, and then last week we got an episode where she was like, you know, Count Dooku sort of believed this way. And I was like, it's just so interesting. And then we got three episodes of Dooku and Tales of the Jedi. So it just caused me to wonder what's like, why is Dooku so prevalent in Dave Filoni's mind? Right. And how does that at all tie into anything in the future?
I think like it probably has to do with the fact that like Dooku seemed to entertain the thought of prophecy and stuff a little bit more than the Jedi's. I would say he's a very practical kind of a dude, but he has, He seemed to be a little bit more into some of like the woo-woo stuff in the Jedi, where like some Jedis mm-hmm. would be like, oh, I don't want to like touch that. That's, you know, who believes in prophecies or the chosen one or whatever. It seemed like he had more of an affinity towards it than some of the other ones. And I think Qui-Gon really picked up on that, because by the time we see Qui-Gon meeting Anakin, he right. just knows instantaneously, this is the chosen one. There's no doubt in my mind, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you've got to, you know, right. just pass this on. So this sort of thought has passed on from Dooku to Qui-Gon to Obi-Wan to him, to Anakin himself, you know.
Right.
So maybe that has something to do with it.
It's just wild. It's just so hard to keep up with Dave Filoni, because it's
that like, cowboy man, hat.
I know. He's just pulling. I know. And then Ahsoka is going to come out later this year and we're going to be like in all sorts of different directions. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm loving Bad Batch so far. I know we're only three episodes in. We'll have another one here in just a few hours as of the time we're live and recording this.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely looking more forward to more of that. Thanks for coming on. This is awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So much fun just breaking down this Mandalorian season three trailer and just getting all the hype. Obviously have to do it again here in just a little bit too. Once we're a little more deeper into Bad Batch, we'll probably have another Mandalorian little teaser or something. So we can get a little bit more of that. We'll do one last comment here. Brotherhood of Steel saying, I feel like Cody should be in like crosshair when it comes to loyalty to the Empire. It could have made a great showdown between Cody and Rex, sort of like a reverse Kenobi Anakin situation.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, kind of having those two be a little bit opposite. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where Cody ends up because he thought he killed Obi-Wan, right?
I don't know. I have to go back into Revenge of the Sith. I think Obi-Wan just sort of falls.
Yeah, he's the last clone that talks to him. And then he goes on his little dragon creature.
They shoot, right? Yeah. And then he falls down,
And then he falls down. So, I don't know. Maybe he's wrestling with all the guilty stuff. Those clones.
And if you remember back, all of the early leaks and reports of Kenobi was that it was going to be Cody who was hunting down Kenobi. Mm-hmm. And so now it feels like they're going in now we want to go in a totally different direction and it's going to be Cody Demption instead of Cody being the one to hunt Kenobi. So in Legends, Cody comments his only regret was giving him back his lightsaber. Okay. Yeah, so totally different, just different direction. Yeah. So awesome. Well, thanks so much, Lady Sarah, for coming on. As always, much fun. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram at Sarah Palpatine, and my podcast, Hello There, and Curiosity Killed the Cat, or wherever you can find any podcast. So, yeah.
Let's go. Well, so much fun. We'll definitely do it again here in a couple weeks or so, once we can talk a little bit more about Bad Batch, once we'll be a little further in. Like I said, probably have another Mandalorian trailer, so it'll be so much fun. Thank everybody who's in the chat. This is a lot of fun hanging out, doing this here live on YouTube, and for anybody listening on the podcast. So with that, guys, as always, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And remember that traveling through hyperspace ain't like dusting crops.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.